already. One of the things the scientists say that we need, a good amount of sleep. Roughly, they say about 7 to 9 hours of sleep every night for the average healthy person. Now, I don't know about a lot of you, but sometimes that's just not possible. Sometimes that would be the greatest blessing ever, just to have a nice solid 8 to 9 hours of sleep. With all the technology out there, we do have beds that are becoming better, making them easier for us to sleep. But we also have technology that makes us sleep spiritually. So what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about sleep. We're going to look at the Bible and see what it talks about and see what this word means. We're going to let God describe to us what does it mean to sleep, both physically and spiritually, because the Bible does talk about both. So that's what we're going to look at. So we're familiar with a passage in Matthew chapter 25, the parable of the 10 virgins. We're going to base part of our lesson off of this today. I know we've looked at it recently, but the matter of speaking with sleep, this is a wonderful, wonderful little passage. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at the first 5 verses here, 1 through 5. It says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 of them were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept." So we see the 10 different virgins here. We see the 5 that are unwise and the 5 that are wise. But the one thing that they all had in common is while the bridegroom came, they had physical rest. They slept. So as we've studied before, we do know that the bridegroom is Christ. But what we see is, as we're waiting for Christ to come, there's nothing wrong with physical sleep. Luckily for us, I mean, I'd hate to have to give that up after becoming a Christian, but if we would have had to, that's what we would have done. But we have the example that we're allowed to. So let's consider some other passages that talk about physical sleep. Keep your hand here if you would in 25 here, and we'll come back to it here after a while. But let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to look at some other things that deal with sleep. Proverbs chapter 3. Look at verse 24 here. It says, "When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lay down, and thy sleep shall be sweet." From Proverbs chapter 3, verse 24. You ever go through the day, you go through the motions, and you just don't even think about things. And then sometimes when you go to lay down, it's just that it seems like that day is when everything comes crashing down on you, and you start thinking about all these different things. But read that verse again. "So when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet." When we go to sleep, we shouldn't be worrying about things. We shouldn't be worrying about them. We should be trusting in God as we go to bed. That's why it's a good practice. It's not required, but it's a good practice to pray before you're going to bed. Just even acknowledging to yourself, God's in control. God will take care of it. God will help me rest better. Let's go to Psalms chapter 4. Continuing on with this idea of sleeping better because God will take care of us. Verse 5. It says, "Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in time than their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only make me dwell in safety." We trust and respect that he will keep us safe. He will provide us rest. Sometimes, like I said, we lay awake at night worrying about tomorrow's problems. Trusting God, he will take care of it. Another side is, before we go to bed, think about when we wake up. What's the first thing that we do normally? Normally run, hit that alarm clock and be like, what's this day doing? I gotta get up, gotta get to work, gotta get to school. But what about God? Do we put him first in the day? Let's go to Psalms 3 and read verse 5. It says, I laid me down and slept. I awakened, for the Lord sustained me. Each morning you wake up, it's because God allowed you to. God took care of you. He provided that safety through the night. He allowed you to wake up. He takes care of us. As Christians, we're always basing everything we do on Christ. None can argue about that. So what do we have an example of him sleeping? Do we have that? Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 8. You see those bumper stickers. What would Jesus do? We recall this study here. We were talking about it with Peter and Matthew chapter 8, verse 24 through 26. They're on the boat. What's going on? A big old storm's going on. What is Christ doing in this situation? Matthew 8, chapter 24 through 26 says, And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And look at his response. Now he's resting, he's sleeping, physically sleeping. And what's his response to them they're panicking. Look at all these waves, look at this storm, we're going to die. Christ says, And he said unto them, Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. What is Christ doing here? Why is he able to sleep sound where the apostles were not? Look at that again. Ye of little faith. Why are you afraid? Are you not trusting in God? He'll take care of you. It's a wonderful example as to what we've been talking about previously. Trust in God. He'll take care of us. That raging storm is not a problem. God will take care of us. Possibly consider that passage in that light. Any night you're having trouble sleeping. Christ wasn't awake during that storm. He didn't care. He trusted God. He knew God would take care of him. Let's jump to the spiritual side. We talked a little bit about the physical. There isn't much more about the physical we can talk about other than trusting in God. But let's go back to Matthew 25. We're going to see the spiritual side of things. We're going to finish looking at the 10 virgins here. And at midnight, starting in verse 6, And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom come. Now remember, they were all sleeping, physically sleeping. Go you out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there not be enough for us and you. But go you rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. So as we see in the example here, we have two different groups of virgins. They were both sleeping physically, but the five that were prepared, they were the ones that were able to go in there. And why is that? Because they had no clue when Christ was coming back. So the five that never prepared, they never were ready, they weren't watching out for the bridegroom to come back, were not prepared. They were denied entry. And we have to think about that as we go through our days. Do we have our lamps filled with oil? Not literally, but are we prepared? Do we have our spiritual food? Do we have enough that we need? Let's continue on here. When we go to bed at night, do we ever think that, hey, tomorrow may be the day? Do we worry that Christ is going to come back tomorrow? Did we go to bed knowing full well that, yes, I did what Christ wanted me to today? If we did, that's going to help us get to sleep a lot easier physically. But is this an attitude that a Christian should have, that when we go to bed, is should we panic whether or not Christ is coming tomorrow? Let's take a look at 1 Thessalonians. So where we'll be spending the rest of our study here today. 1 Thessalonians. We're going to chapter 5. Read the first few verses here. It says, "But of the times and the season, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." Again, we don't need to know because we already know he's coming like a thief in the night. Before we go further into this passage, we need to understand there's two different groups of people being talked about, and we need to keep that in perspective. We have the word ye, we, us. Those are referring to us that are in Christ, those that have been baptized. Then we have the other group that they refer to as they or them or so forth. That's referring to anyone who's not obeyed the gospel. And that includes people who claim to be Christians yet are not Christians. So we have two different groups we've got to look at when we're reading this. So keep it in perspective here. So as Christians, we, or it says ye, have no need. For you yourselves know perfectly that day. We know Christ is going to come back whenever he feels like it. We know we need to always be prepared. And we're going to see that here throughout this. Let's drop down to verse 3. So for when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction. Now remember, who's they? They are those that are outside of Christ. Those outside of Christ will say, peace and safety. That sounds familiar. Hold that thought for a second. Then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. That sounds very familiar, does it not? People from the outside are saying, okay, there's warning signs. We know he's coming. Everything's fine. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24. Hold your hand there, by the way. We're going to come back to 1 Thessalonians. Matthew chapter 24, verse 38. It reads, "For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving into marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark." Again, we had that same example. We've talked about that many times over. They thought the same thing. Everything's fine. We're in peace. We're in safety. But God was right. God said there was going to be rain. And it happened. Same thing's going on here. They of outside the world, those of the world, are saying, we're going to have safety. We're peaceful. Everything's fine. Guess what? God's going to keep his promise, as he's done every other time. Let's continue on. Notice there at the end of that verse, by the way, verse 3, it says, "And they shall not escape." Doesn't matter who you are. You're not escaping if you're not in Christ, if you're part of the group of they. Okay, continue on in verse 4 and 5. Let's pay close attention here. It says, "But ye brethren are not in darkness." Notice the you, those in Christ, "are not in darkness that you should overtake you as a thief." We're not in darkness. We should not be worried that the day of Christ is going to just, oh, look, there's a thief. Better get ready. Better lock my doors. We're always prepared. Verse 5, it says, "You are the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. We are children of the light." Let's go to John chapter 8. Hold your hand there. We'll be back. John chapter 8. Verse 12, it says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." We're following after Christ. We are in that light. We are not of the darkness. And if we're not of the darkness, we're not part of the they, we're not worried about if Christ's coming back or not. We're prepared. We're ready because we walk in that light. Again, in verse 4, when it's talking that you should overtake you as a thief, we're prepared. We're ready at all times. Verse 6, continuing on. Here is a wonderful verse. He just pulled it out and just preached on this one little verse. It would completely be out of context. It says, "Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Whoa, we were just talking about physical sleep. Is that what this verse is talking about? If we took a direct translation, if we pulled this out, okay, Christians, you're not supposed to sleep anymore. You're in sin if you're sleeping. Is that what it's referring to? No, absolutely not. We have a different meaning here, and that is the meaning of being unaware, being unprepared for when Christ comes back. So if we read it again, it says, therefore, let us not be unaware. Let us not be unprepared, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Notice, and watch. If sleep is the opposite of watch, it means you're not watching. I mean, it's let God define it. Don't take our own meaning and putting it in here. Continue on, verse 7 through 8. So for they that sleep and they that are be drunken are in the night. Again, we're not talking about physical sleep. We all sleep at night. We're not in sin for going about and doing chores in the middle of the night. That's not what it's referring to. Verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for the helmet, the hope of salvation. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Being prepared, putting on the armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6 is where we're going to be looking at. I think I will. Yes, Ephesians chapter 6. Let's go back there. Hold your hand there again. Ephesians chapter 6. We're just going to fly through this one real quick. Pay attention here to how it starts and how it ends. Starting in verse 10, it says, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of the might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, rules of darkness, and the world against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, or which shall be the quench of all fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now notice verse 18. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. The word perseverance means to be persistent in doing something difficult. It's not always easy to be prepared for Christ. We want to be in our own world. We want to, we still want to have some fun. But we're to always be ready. Notice verse 10, it talked about, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. How are we going to be strong in the Lord? We be prepared for him. We prepare for coming back. We talked about the armor here. Putting it on. Protecting ourselves. And then verse 18, as we saw, is to be perseverant. Always being prepared. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians. Read verse 9 and 10 here. It says, for God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. I want to point out verse 9. The world wants us to think that John 3:16 simply means that Christ died for all, and he did. But he thinks that that means automatically every man on earth has salvation. Let's read verse 9 again. Read it really close. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. How are you obtaining salvation if Christ just automatically gave it to you? You're not. You have to do some work. We'll talk about that a little bit later on our invitation here. But the definition of obtain means to get, to acquire, or to secure. We're not securing or obtaining anything if we're just given it. That's not hard work. Again, verse 10. Wake or sleep. Who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him? Even when we're sleeping moments, those 8 hours or so that you're getting, Christ is there. Are you waiting for him? Are you prepared for him? Again, we shouldn't worry. It just shouldn't matter if Christ comes back right now, tonight, tomorrow. whenever. Doesn't matter. We're living for Christ every single moment. So again, if we go to bed tonight, ask yourself, did I live for Christ? Don't be discouraged. You possibly, if you wake up tomorrow, work harder on it. Be more like Christ. Be prepared. It may help you sleep better. It may be the bed, but sometimes it's our conscience. Worry, the doubt, the fear that I've done something wrong, that today I wasn't worthy of it. Trust in God, be prepared for Him, and He'll take care of us. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. We're done with Thessalonians, so you can pull your hand out of there. So Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatever so things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." You want a little help and advice on how to be putting Christ more in your life? Think on the things He wants us to think about. Think about the Word. There's a lot of distractions in this world. But if it isn't pure, if it isn't from God, probably shouldn't be bothered with it. Live for Christ. Be prepared. Question I want to ask you today is, are you asleep spiritually? We already saw that physically sleeping, not a problem. Christ even slept. But He didn't worry when He went to sleep. He was prepared. God would take care of Him. He understood. What a great example He was for the apostles. Here they were flailing their arms, or whatever it may be. Storm's coming. They're going to kill us. Trust in God. If you're asleep spiritually, as we saw in 1 Thessalonians, now's the time to change. As 1 Thessalonians 5:9 mentioned, we obtained salvation through Christ. We weren't given it. We have to work for it. We have to do something. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 and following paints an illustration for us to understand that we need to put Christ first. We need to build our lives on Christ. And during that storm, it ain't going to matter. We're prepared. Our house is settled. It's on that rock. We hear Him. We listen to Him. We listen to the blueprint. We build and prepare ourselves. And our house and ourselves, our spiritual side, we will stand firm. Mark 16, 15 and 16 talks about going out and teaching, and those that believe will be baptized. We must believe that it's real, that it's true. Prior to baptism, we see there's also a few other steps we must make. Luke 13, 3 talks about repenting or else being perished. If we're asleep spiritually, Christian or non, we need to change. We need to wake up. Be prepared. Get some better sleep with it, too. Acts 8, 36 gives us the example of the eunuch, saying that they're showing us that there is more to it than just getting wet. There's a confession that needs to be made. Christ is the Son of God, spoken with lips. Not a confession of sins, but a confession of Christ. He's our leader. He's our example. He's what helps us be prepared for that storm. And then we see in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter tells us to be baptized for the remission of our sins, for the forgiveness. We follow these steps. We continue studying God's word, and we'll be prepared for that night when the thief comes. If there's any need to respond, now's the time as we stand and sing this next song.